Grace you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One day an expert in the law came to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Love the Lord and love people. All of the words of the five books of the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, then all of the words of the prophets, Isaiah through Malachi, hang on these two commands. And these two commands really both hang on one word, love. So why in the world then did God give his people 10 commandments? And why are both the books of the law and the books of the prophets full of commandment after commandment on how the Israelites were to live out their lives as God's people? And beyond that, why does Jesus devote his entire 3-year ministry to teaching his disciples and all who would listen to him what it means to be a follower of God and what it looks like to be a follower of God? So important was this to Jesus that in some of his last words to his disciples, he commanded them to disciple all nations by baptizing them and by teaching them to observe everything that he had commanded them. Why does God's Word and God's Son spend so much time and effort trying to teach us what living as the children of God looks like? Well, in the words of Psalm 23, because he is trying to lead us into the paths of righteousness. Like a good shepherd leading his sheep to the best, the safest, the most beneficial paths for their well-being, so our Lord God leads us to walk in paths that reflect his righteousness in order that we might be benefited and blessed. You know, sometimes people look at the Ten Commandments and all of God's laws as a series of rules that limit our ability to have fun and to get the best out of life. But the opposite is in actuality the case. God's laws and commands were given to protect us and to bless us, commanding us not to commit adultery is not God's way of trying to take away our sexual fun. It's God's way to protect our hearts and our bodies and our lives from brokenness and from loneliness and from disease. Banishing Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden was not God's way of punishing them for their sin. It was God's way of protecting them, saving them from eating from the tree of life and thereby living forever in a state of sinful separation from God. God's command for us to return 10% of all we have back to him It's not God's way of trying to make us poor, but God's way of teaching us to be dependent upon Him for our daily sustenance instead of dependent upon our money and our possessions. Our Lord, our Savior, our good shepherd has given us His laws and His commands and His teachings, and yes, even His own example, so that He might leadeth us into paths of righteousness, that we might be blessed, that His name might be honored. For you see, whenever we walk in God's righteousness, we reflect God, and God is honored. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men." In other words, walk in the paths of God's righteousness, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. But why isn't it enough to tell us to love God and love others? Why isn't that sufficient? Why can't that simply lead us into paths of righteousness? Well, it could if we did, but we don't. Simply loving God and loving others is enough. Unfortunately, we don't do that very well. And what does even loving God and loving others look like? Does it mean that we give a hand up to the poor or simply give them a hand out? Does it mean that we punish the wrongdoer or we forgive the wrongdoer? And these lists of questions go on and on. Because loving God and loving others can mean a lot of different things in different situations to different people. And thus God gives us a myriad of commands and laws and teachings, and even the example of His own Son Jesus, to leadeth us clearly and very specifically into paths of righteousness. He doesn't leave a whole lot open to our own subjectivity, but goes to great lengths to lead us into His righteousness. If only we would take the time to read and to know His Word. But too often we don't, do we? We don't really know God's Word as well as we ought. And thus we often don't follow the leadership of His Word because we don't actually know what it says. But even when we do, we still too seldom follow His Word onto those paths of righteousness because so often it isn't convenient or it's not cost effective or seemingly to our advantage in our present condition. And thus the greatest expression of these paths of righteousness that God leads us into is the path of faith. Faith in our good shepherd Jesus, who laid down His life for us as sheep. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1, "It is because of God that we are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God." That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Through faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are forgiven of our sins. And thus we live in His righteousness. And that's the ultimate expression and fulfillment of the paths of righteousness that God leads us into is that of faith in the person and the work of Jesus. As we live and believe in Him, we are then credited with His righteousness. And God works all of this in us for His own name's sake, that He may be glorified. May we thus follow each day where the Lord, our Shepherd, leads us, that we might walk in the path of His righteousness and that He might be glorified. In the name of Jesus, our good Shepherd, amen.